Hi, this is Ella.
Morning, Ella.
Hi.
我让那孩子有劲儿去吭吭给妈，就背回来。
We are at the top of the hour. I still see some people joining, so we'll give everybody another minute or so, and then we'll get going. Okay, the joins seem to be slowing, so why don't we get started? We've sent around the agenda for this meeting. You should all have this in your inbox. What we want to do first is hear from the use case subcommittee. on revisiting some of the answers that the architecture subcommittee raised last time for some of the other use cases. Also the clarification of the requirements and discussion of key features, and then also the subcommittee flow that we've been covering through email. Also, the use case subcommittee raised questions for the architecture subcommittee, so we'll also talk about controllers and external orchestrator controller usage in R2. Let's see, Ala, should we start with the number one, some of the questions? Are they up on the wiki, or do you have other presentations?
Yes, so what happened since yesterday, Chris, is that China Telecom has updated Enterprise DCP with some additional answers, and also I saw that Vimal has provided some answers for 5G use cases, but on a separate wiki page. So we can go now to this wiki page of question and answers, and then I guess Vimal will navigate to the page he...
And Ella and Chris, the reason why I did not post on wiki were because I wanted other team members on the use case to add those were the answers that I and Sekhar created. We didn't get a chance to discuss those things. We do have a call this afternoon that we will discuss them further. That's the only reason why I did not post on the wiki site. And Chris, one suggestion is that template you have provided, can we use that template to answer the questions and fill the whole thing so that we don't have to go to two separate locations to answer questions in one wiki location and put the use case in separate one?
Sure. Why don't we cover that as a kind of a follow-up action from this?
Okay.
Let's just start with the material we have, and then we can do the cleanup after the call.
Yeah, sure. So, Ella, you want to bring up the answers I had posted on wiki, or?
I find that what I wanted to do is, you know, basically to show answers. I would say that, you know, unless someone disagrees, I think that the major emphasis of this meeting should be, you know, not on specific answers that people will get now, but rather, you know, on our way of use case, at least to use case description on everything we've agreed. For example, yesterday during use case subcommittee calls, and highlight then, you know, those answers. So basically both subcommittees know where to look for the answers and, you know, can follow on that. So then if it is okay, I can, you know, I can share my screen and quickly navigate through those answers provided. Can you see the screen right now?
Yes.
So what was done here on this page is that Lumana, I believe, provided some additional responses for Enterprise VCP for more questions than was covered before. Mm-hmm. This is what was extended, and I also added here those, you know, questions coming from use case subcommittee, and also questions number 10 and 11, which came as a part of your questions for this meeting, for this particular meeting, 10 and 11.
Okay.
So previously we had the first 9, I added 10 and 11, and then added our questions. And Long has extended the list of the answers for Enterprise VCP, so they're here. And then, Vimal, would be good if you can show where your current revision of 5G answers is. So I will stop sharing. If you can share your screen and show that.
Sure.
And as you said, you will discuss them today during 5G Task Force call, and then later perhaps distribute a link to the updated answers, right?
So I did not see Ella's question 10 and 11. We answered the first 9 questions you had. And the first questions were pretty simple, yes or no. Does it need multi-site support? Answer is yes. Would use case require multi-region, multi-domain, and federation support? Answer is yes. Would have a multinational support? It probably, some service provider probably will need multinational support. AT&T probably not. Do you need to consider enhanced network features like underlay? Was that a question or was that the background?
Probably that.
Can individual use case be built from the same component common that's our goal and desire? What are the new challenges from the first set of use cases? So the key thing is that support hybrid network consisting of PNF and VNF. Design study so the whole on a platform enhancement needed to support, whether it's an SDC for designing and capturing the artifact for PNFs, service orchestrator support for PNF, controller support for PNF, DCA support, policy support, and all those. DCA policy probably won't have that much difference, but just want to make sure that we can consistently support PNF and VNF without any problem. The design studio enhancement to support network slicing, slice deployment, slice management, ANI enhancement to capture slice model, topology and inventory, SOAPC, DCAE policy enhancement to support for slicing management. So those are the kind of things that we want to demonstrate and enhance platform to so that we can manage 5G and slices more effectively. The other thing is that DCAE policy enhancement to support open framework for near real-time network optimization, conflict resolution during design time, as well as runtime across multiple microservices. So we expect multiple SON algorithms running, and the recommendation coming from them might have some conflict and overlapping. There's a load balancing going on, there's a handover management going on. Maybe that's not a very good example, but you can see that those kind of algorithm might request something that is conflicting. How do we resolve those conflicts? So those are some of the enhancements we think we need to incorporate. And the last thing you will see in the use case description is that this ONAP operational optimization framework need enhancement to support multi-cloud and 5G network optimization. So that's a basic platform optimization so that people can implement optimization, and those are described in the use case in more detail. So what are some of the technical gaps? I think the six answered that pretty much, unless people have more questions. Key business, before I go, any questions so far? Key business driver for these capabilities of 5G and network slicing are emerging technologies that are complex and distributed. Multiple service providers are getting ready to deploy them. This use case will demonstrate how ONAP can be used for realization of these complex services. Will help 5G technology providers to understand ONAP requirement and deliver VNF, PNF capability that can be managed using ONAP. So it is both for service provider as well as educating our vendors. So that's why you see a lot of vendors also participating in this use case too, so that what we get from them, artifact we get from them, are consistent to support, to be managed by ONAP.
Can I have a question?
Sure.
Yeah. Why you in the titles mentioned the RAN? Is the case only to slice the RAN or also the core of the network?
So it was the slice would go across RAN, transport, and core. And since we already have done the core part and the transport is already there, so the RAN is something new, and the slicing would require us to make changes in the APC core. Maybe in IMS, I don't see much changes in IMS, but definitely EPC, transport, and RAN.
But maybe in the title, do we need to keep RAN or we keep it only 5G?
So if we kept 5G, the scope means if you say 5G, 5G could include EPC, IMS, RAN, and transport. Mm-hmm. The purpose of this use case is to say what are the things that we have not done in release one use cases. We already did covered APC and IMS in release one. Transport has been key component since the beginning. And so RAN is new. So how do we deploy RAN? That's one part of the use case. Second part is now we have RAN and EPC and everything. How do we support end-to-end slicing across these three pieces? That's the second part. And the third part is how do we implement network optimization using
Vimal, although the use case itself from a scoping and description perspective is limited to the RAN, the way the we would expect the capabilities to be enhanced would be in a generic way that applies across all the use cases in all of the domains.
That's right.
Absolutely. We will get there when we, you know, tell you guys what conclusion we've achieved on how we move forward with relates to use cases description in general. We will get there. So basically, this is what I think I wanted to provide on the first one. I would suggest, you know, I'm pretty sure there will be a follow-up question for those answers which were provided. So I would suggest two following things. As Vimal has mentioned that they are going to have 5G task force meeting later today. Results from that meeting, some of the answers may get revised, and then he would upload it to the same wiki page where we have those answers, questions and answers between running between architecture and use case subcommittee. And then, you know, all of you will be able to see all the answers for enterprise VCP and for 5G. And, you know, in case there are some follow-up questions, please ask them also there, so we are able to respond.
We'll do that, Ella.
Okay, great. Then actually, the second question is rather specific on PNS. So what level of PNS we require for support of release 2? And one specific question for PC and NAI components, I guess for enterprise VCP use case presented by Luman. So is there anyone who wants to respond? I guess for PC and NAI, perhaps Luman or Long will respond.
Is anybody from VCP on?
Enterprise VCP. Let me check. Yes.
Hey, this is Gilbert. I'm on from VCP. Sorry, I'm driving, though. I can't hear that well.
So, Gil, this is for enterprise VCP. Are you working on that, or are you working on consumer VCP?
No, I was residential. I'm sorry. I'll go back on mute.
No problem.
Yeah, actually, Allah, I was trying to reach those folks after our exchange yesterday, and I haven't heard any response, so I'm not sure if those folks are around.
And Allah, we would, from 5G, we will definitely document what we need. As I said verbally a few minutes back, is to say we should be, so the PNF we will be using in RAN would be what we call DU, distributed unit that goes on the cell site. Those will be peripheral, that would be manageable or configurable using standard configuration templates like NetConfYang. So we should be able to model it, capture it in our STC, support it to do SO, configure it using controllers, and collect data, telemetry data, analyze them, and take corrective action to reconfigure it or reboot it or restart. So it's a complete lifecycle manager of PNF, just like VNF. Only thing different would be that we won't be as easily scale up, scale down, or move them around if needed. So they are fixed asset, they are what we have, but other than that, there should be complete lifecycle management support from ONAP, and we'll capture that information in our response to that question.
Okay, thank you very much. And then there is, and by the way, I don't see Luman alone joining the call, so I will tell you that when we discuss at least enterprise VCP with the introduction of those new PCE and the NAI components, the feedback of use case subcommittee was that, you know, those components proposals should also be brought to architecture subcommittee for discussion. So I would, you know, in the meeting summary of this meeting summary, I would also put that definitely has to be discussed deeper by architecture subcommittee. So let's take it as an action item from this meeting.
Great.
Now,
I'll be happy to schedule that on one of the upcoming calls. So if the team leaves, could just speak with me offline, we can get that set up.
Great. So this is what we are going to do. Now, discuss key features for release 2, from what we can tell, multi-tenancy slides and one connection types and PNF support seem to be required. Are there others? So for that, I would like actually to share my screen and dedicate a little bit time to show you what we've discussed yesterday and had agreed on as a group on how we move forward. This relates to use case description. You can see right now on the screen the summary of the call that I sent yesterday. And what we agreed on that basically we classify three categories of requirements or platform capabilities, as you want to call it, presented for release two approval, and that will be comprised of the following. First category would be the features which are missing from release one functional requirements actual implementation. So either features which were not planned at all for release one, or those features which were planned by eventually not implemented for release one, you know, resulted from a desired on-up flow or use case flow for that release one use case implementation. And our release one teams are responsible to bring up a list of those features. Now, if I go to the wiki page where we list on a platform missing capability of release one, here on the screen, you can see some. And this list was also extended yesterday, for example, by Kang, I believe, who introduced support PNF modeling and associated workflow design in FTO. Because this is something that we figured out recently that we need, and it won't be implemented by FTO in the first release. We've just had discussion on that during the yesterday use case subcommittee meeting. So basically, the idea right now is to extend this list of release one missing platform capabilities by for what we could see for release one use cases. Are there any questions so far for this category?
One question for me. I've been assuming that the use case subcommittee was planning to pick one or a small set of use cases. And I guess I just wanted to clarify from a process perspective, do you plan to support you know, one or two use cases like we did in release one, or do you want to support the release one use cases plus some additional? What's the expectation for what happens?
Great question, Chris. So let me go through all three categories, and then I will, you know, provide our vision on this.
But
I think we will get there. Okay, so now the second category is non-functional requirements desired for release two implementation. Now, this is also an action item that we had from yesterday meeting, basically jointly discussed with you how we want to handle this. Because when we say non-functional requirements, we basically mean all those requirements related, you know, to testing, to resiliency, to security credential, all those type of things. And the question now is how we organize that, well, how we gather all those requirements, because it is not only up, you know, to use case subcommittee, perhaps it is actually more relevant for architecture subcommittee. So at least to me, it looks like, you know, we should generate a wiki page jointly, and then, you know, each one of individual people, contributors, you know, can introduce from both subcommittee, from, you know, the whole TC community can introduce their both, you know, non-functional requirements. So what do you think in this regard?
Great. I think that would be, I think that's a great way to handle this. We can put it up and keep iterating between the two committees to make sure that we identify everything.
Okay. We already have a page. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I think it's good to iterate between the two committees, but I think a lot of the PTLs also know have like a punch list of those requirements. We probably should reach out to the PTLs of all the projects.
Great idea. So we can also, you know, send, you know, it to the general TST list, to subcommittees, but also reach out to the list of PTLs, asking them explicitly to extend the list.
Great suggestion. I also see An Lee from Netcracker has a hand up. Do you have a question?
Yes, this is my question is about that multi-site, multi-domain in inventory. So we still curious about how in the service order decomposition, how the SO know what domain controller or orchestrator we should send request to. For example, we say a multi-vim VCPE, okay? So yeah, the request is about connecting search location, that location. How SO know that search location are handled by what VNFM or what domain orchestrator? By registration, by special naming conventions in the inventory or what?
So that's tied into the inventory system and also the template to be able to make the decision. You know, if you looked at it today, I'll refer you to Seshu and to the SO team for all the specifics. But if you look at this today, there's a difference between whether we used Tosca or Heat to set up the connection. And so SO would know if it's Heat, send it to APC. And if it's Tosca, it could go either to APC or to VFC, you know, depending on the nature of the template. And then also it can check with ANAI to figure out if there are multiple where to send it. I would suggest talking to the SO team to go into detail about the three different flows that they're working on.
Yeah, I mean, not one VFC, not one Vim, but multiple instances of them, because each domain is the same, we have the code instance. So I suppose that inventory will have some, either they have everything, so we know that this kind of resource or domain would be handled by what VFC instance, for example. But I don't have confirmation about that understanding.
Sure.
There was a homing decision module in the SO, but currently, my understanding is it's very simple. But from function point of view, it should list function to decide which location to deploy in the SO.
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue of which location to deploy. It's more like which controller orchestrator manages a particular location or domain, which I think is available in ANAI, but I guess we need to confirm with SO and ANAI.
Yeah, so I think we're getting a little detailed for this particular meeting. But I would recommend taking that up with the respective PTLs.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Great.
Okay, great. So then let's move back. So for non-functional requirements, what we've basically agreed on is that we will, use some wiki page for introducing those. By the way, we already have a wiki page for architecture requirements coming from architecture subcommittee, but that one is empty. So perhaps, you know, we need to rename that page and leverage it for this usage. And also we will approach, you know, the whole TST list along with, you know, PTL list separately, asking them to enhance the list of non-functional requirements. The third category is about new functional requirements extracted from release to use cases proposal. And we are asking basically release to task forces on 5G, on enterprise VCP, SD-WAN, and a non of change management to do this work basically by breaking out their use case proposal into, you know, functional requirements and new functional requirements and bringing those functional requirements to the discussion. Basically, the plan here, after we have all those three lists, we would, you know, prioritize all jointly, by the way, with you, with modeling subcommittee, prioritize those and choose those that we recommend to TC for implementation in release one. Now, Chris, regarding your specific question on, you know, what is the way of bringing? So we had this discussion over TST list where quite a few members commented on what is emphasized, what is focused for list two. And it looked like there is a consensus that release two major objective is of, you know, taking the platform to a better level of quality, basically hardening the platform, making an enterprise grade level, rather than, you know, introducing new use cases. So this that we do want to continue a full description of those new use cases which we currently have of the table of 5G, of enterprise VCP, SD-WAN, but we will take those most important features that from there as a candidate for release to implementation. And then we will basically see, you know, what is use cases, what use cases, perhaps a new one, perhaps extended release one use cases with a new functionality can be showed, because, you know, we definitely need to show something new coming from release two from the marketing perspective. But again, from our technical perspective, we want to extend platform as much as possible, and rather than concentrating on bringing, you know, new functional use cases into the picture. So this is how, you know, we discussed it yesterday during use case subcommittee meeting, and, you know, please provide your opinion on that. We would like to hear from you.
just a comment on this. So I think this definitely was the way that we talked about it and view it in the use case subcommittee. I think that we're also saying is that this is not to say that we will not be working as a community on use cases for R2, but at the same time that we will be defining together functional requirements, both non-functional, so platform, both non-functional and functional requirements, we may, after we do this and after the projects understand what they need to deliver and they're working on it, we may work with the integration project to to decide on various use cases that we will want to demonstrate in the R2 release time. But it will be only with the integration project. So the projects will not have to, you know, the best case is that they will not even know what these are, because they will, these use cases will build upon functionality that they will be building. Just like if any operator takes this platform and tries to deliver a use case that they want, they will not be talking necessarily with projects here. They will simply take the platform and use it the way they want to and the way the platform allows to. So I think we still may want to look into this after we define all the functionality and after we know that the projects understand the functionality and they're working on it. We can definitely look into showcasing some specific use cases.
Right.
I just wanted to add one more point that, you know, when bringing those new requirements, we will generalize them as much as possible. So they are not specific for any particular use case they're coming from, for SD-WAN or for 5G or for any other. But they're generic enough so they can actually be used for any new use case requested to be supported by ONAP.
Right. And I think the rationale here really is to make sure that what the project teams are implementing is not just kind of a hack to make a particular use case work, but it's actually a platform, right? Because otherwise people are very tempted to take shortcuts and just implement it in, you know, a quick hack to make a particular use case work, and that's not going to help the platform in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The other part, I think you had asked this question before, what are we doing with the R1 use cases and R2? I mean, my personal opinion is that we should collect those use cases for regression testing, right? Now, some of them are more easily included in regression testing than others. So for example, the VCPE one is completely virtual, so that you could fairly easily include into regression testing because it doesn't require any physical setup. The VoLTE one, I'm not sure how trivial it would be to include that into regression testing, as it does require a substantial amount of you know, manual setup on the hardware side. So we probably have to look at this at one at a time and make a decision. But I mean, overall, I would push for, let's keep as many as we practically can, so we have a regression test set.
Yeah, so I thank you very much, Oliver. So I think that at least when we started release one, we agreed that a virtual firewall use case will always be used for regression of testing for any of, you know, releases coming in the future. With regard to others, for example, if we touch RVCP or we touch Volta, also, as we said, you know, the first part of features missing for release one use cases, eventually about enhancement also of those use cases, right? If we implement new functionality. So what can be done here is that we will take all those, you know, new features and run them with release one use case, on release one use cases, to see whether it works. Okay, so this is really something very important that, you know, we would like to see that we are in agreement, in a common understanding with you guys, because this is the way we are going to bring eventually use case requirements also for a dialogue with you. So I would like to see if there is an understanding and agreement with you on the way we are bringing release two use cases.
Yeah, I think that this is important. I know I get asked for feature lists all the time. I think if we start defining it up front and documenting it together on the wiki, and ideally getting some agreement on this before we start with the R2 planning, I think that would definitely help for the next release, and then we can both iterate through and make sure that those requirements are supported respectively in the architecture and the use cases.
Yes. So I guess that, you know, our next joint meeting will happen in Paris, right? Or near Paris.
Yes.
So by then, hopefully, we will have those releases, the first one and the third one, you know, brought by use case subcommittee mostly. The second one of non-functional requirements brought jointly by all of us, and we will be able, you know, to look through the list to see some points where we have some additional questions, or we see they're too complex, for example, or require some future discussion, some initial prioritization, and then see the next steps. So, you know, we are able to finally approve the whole list of all functionality going into release two in 2 or 3 weeks frame. Time frame from after Paris meeting. I mean, this is how at least I see things going on.
And I think as a general guidance that we should, from the joint subcommittee, we should have to the community is that any functional requirements will actually go through, will. So the main target of any functional requirement is, or the first target is the modeling subcommittee. So we want every functionality that we want to add, we want it to be modeled. And then the projects would have to understand the model and act on it and support it. But it has to always start from the modeling.
Yeah, but hi. This is Ala. This is should be aligned with the notion of architectural level requirement, which is more like a stage two requirement if you draw a parity between open source and open standard. A stage two requirement is architectural functional requirement, and then we get into the stage three requirement, which is more the implementation of interfaces and APIs and so on. So is that distinction is allowed here or no?
Well, we don't really have stage three here, per this, I guess.
Like the APIs.
But
yeah,
it's,
these are APIs. Yeah.
You can call it.
It's done in parallel. It's not done staged. You know, so we have the architecture subcommittee and the use case subcommittee creating a high-level requirements, and we have the projects creating their own requirements. And we're essentially doing those efforts in parallel, with some checkpoints where we can synchronize, but it's not linear like you'd have in the open standards arena.
Right. It is not like, you know, then I hear you for this, it brings me back to FreeGBP, right? So it is not like, you know, stage one and SE1.
No, I understand that. The point is, there's sort of APIs for each project. This is like code and community rather than solidifying the architecture and the interfaces. I understand that. But I didn't see any requirement that will touch on the interaction implementation. The functional requirement is fine. The non-functional requirement is fine too. But what is between the interaction between the functional component, is that implicitly captured here or no? I didn't see it.
I mean, this is something which is supposed to come actually from architecture subcommittee as an input for architecture of
yes,
this tool,
yes,
right?
Maybe Chris, we can take it to our weekly meetings, yeah? This
yeah.
has to be added, yeah.
Yeah, let's take this offline. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is actually what we wanted, you know, to show you. So there is an alignment. And the last point that you've raised with regard to subcommittee flow, what we had actually started by you, Chris, you've provided a revision of the flow that we previously had by adding a few points coming from architecture subcommittee. And then it was further extended a little bit by me and by Vladimir from Cisco. And this is now circulated over use case subcommittee and architecture subcommittee. So I guess let's continue and let's finalize this in Paris. Will it work from your perspective?
Great. Yeah, that works. We've already been essentially making the changes with this set of meetings. So we can work on finalizing that when we get together in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great then. Great. And I actually asked, you know, all people, please go there, check. It is, you know, we have an earlier version on Wiki. We can also update this, or just please reply by email, and we can update it at some point when it is more stable, whichever is suitable.
Great. Sounds good.
And now we are moving, I guess, to your part of our questions that we actually ask on controllers and external orchestration and controllers.
Sure. So let me bring up some slides. Hold on just a second. Okay, can everybody see my slides?
Yeah.
Okay. We've been looking at the question APC versus VFC for quite a while. And actually, what we're discovering is most of the overlap is between VFC and SO and not VFC and APC. And what we're working through right now is this functional architecture. For the purposes of discussion, we've broken this into multiple layers. We have the service orchestration, resource orchestration, and then the controllers and management layer. And the ongoing discussions at this point are between the projects, between SO and VFC, on aligning the code in the service orchestration and resource orchestration domain. We are still ongoing with those discussions, so we haven't mapped this specifically to a project yet. But we expect to do that before we get to the R2 planning.
So Chris, I think the discussion we had, Gil presented, and I think a lot of other folks presented, was to say, how can we have one orchestration framework that can support all needs, that does the service orchestration, resource orchestration, very clearly articulated module within the same orchestration framework? That's one part of that architecture, and I think we are making some progress in that. Yep. The second part would be that within controller, do we have overlaps, and how do we enhance those controller we have so that we try to avoid a lot of overlap?
Right. Yeah, and the other area is we're trying to check alignment with some of the industry frameworks. We've already talked about Etsy a bit. We are scheduled to talk about MEF, but we haven't had a chance to get to that yet, and some of the other frameworks, so that as we move forward, as we get into the planning, we can have better alignment with the system that comes out. But you're right, Vimal, the objective is to see how we can align this and not to have separate orchestrators to the extent that we do today. Let's see. Yeah, so we're still figuring out the exact mappings, but we do have some of the problems identified, and we do have teams that are working on this.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Chris, one thing is missing, maybe you plan to have a separate layer of functionality. You are splitting the service orchestration and resource orchestration, which is fine. But then at the controller level, we also need to split the global controller domain versus the local controller domain. And that is going to happen later, yeah? It's not captured yet.
Right. We're still, part of this effort is to start working on the modeling. And someone mentioned data modeling earlier. One of the reasons that we broke it apart at this level is so that we can start focusing on getting the data models correct, so that when we actually do map into code, we have a clean way to do that. And that would also open up your discussion, Parviz, about you know, global versus local controllers, and you know, essentially what this interface layer is.
We perhaps need either an architecture subcommittee or a task force within your subcommittee to address this in parallel. So while you're doing the gory detail of the orchestration split architecture between resource orchestration and service orchestration, we in the controller team, we should also look into the split of global controller domain versus local controller domain, and how we can capture that in this picture.
So we probably want to take this offline, but within the SDNC domain, that can actually be worked out largely by the SDNC project. With the VNF domain, the NFV domain, we're still working on that. It's likely that we'll definitely have APC. You know, in this next time frame, we're still talking about GRS VNFMs and how those interface in, and then if this needs to be extended for other orchestrators for different domains. So
yeah, actually, I had a question related to that. I'm not sure if it's just a deployment issue or architectural issue in terms of the global local, because I imagine even at resource orchestration or service, you could have deployments where you have maybe regional or whatever domain resource orchestration, and then you know, a global deployment as well. So is there an architectural issue, or are we talking just about deployment options?
Yeah, there is an architecture issue, of course.
Yeah.
We already have it in release one, yeah?
We're talking through that now, and that was the reason for some of the questions that we posed to the use case subcommittee about whether we need you know, multi-region support or multinational support, so that we can make sure that we have the interfaces defined and the different layering properly supported.
Right. So for 5G use cases, I think that Vimal has provided those yes answers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can take this as we go through our next call. We're going to be talking about some of the MEF models. So we can go through and see how the interfaces are currently supported and how some of those concepts are brought in through MEF and through other organizations and whether that makes any sense within the context of ONAP.
Hey, Chris, just a quick question. Does the solid line, dotted line have some meaning there?
Let's see. The mostly that this is still under discussion between APSI, GVNFM or SVNFM and other, and that this could be plugins so that depending on the deployment scenario for a particular operator, you could have one controller / manager or another. So that is the intention with that.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, hey Chris, one more thing I noticed. Today, even in release one, the closed loop operation is a critical piece of this architecture. Is that implicitly captured under portal, or what is the plan? Why you're not showing that here?
Well, that's what
the plan.
That's yeah.
Oh, okay. You're showing it there. Yeah, you're showing it. Okay.
Yes.
So. That is not only a design time, yeah. It's more than a design time.
Yes, it would bleed over. The picture starts to get a little messy when we when we draw that in. But you're right. There will be a runtime element as well.
Yeah, we need to look into that. But that's very important. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, there was a Indian question, which was use of external orchestrators, controllers.
Yes.
I don't know if you're planning to address that or addressing it already.
Yes, I wanted to make sure we had the first piece covered. For the second piece about the external controllers, this is where we're getting into the modeling and the layering design. It's something that we have contemplated and are actively discussing. I wouldn't say we have resolution on it yet, but this is where we want to have the interfaces properly defined. Let's see.
Yeah, the other challenge with, and maybe you've considered this already, with the external is, given the market is evolving, they're not always clean. So while in this architecture you may have the functions cleanly defined, what you find in the market with commercial products is they implement a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So kind of the functionality spans multiple boxes that you draw here.
Yes, that's going to be a challenge. What we're trying to do is get to a common understanding of layering and modeling, and that would let us present some common interfaces. That's also one of the reasons that we're discussing the various ETSI, MEF, and other standards organization architectures and interfaces. To see if there is a consistency that we can offer that essentially we won't be able to map the functionality of every commercial product, but if we get to some alignment with the industry direction and then provide a set of interfaces, it becomes easier for other participants in the ecosystem to click into ONAP.
Chris, I do for this external orchestrator and external controller. I think it might be a good idea if we can suggest people to document use case scenario where they think there's a need for external controller or external orchestrator. That way we can ensure that whatever solution we come up with can support that scenario and can support that use case people have come up with. Otherwise, I think by just having that two sentences is a little bit vague, and solution we come up might not address any of the requirements.
No, that's the plan, actually. I mean, at least my personal interest in the task force was coming from the SD-WAN side, where there are a number of commercial SD-WAN controllers, and how did that kind of fit into ONAP? And Chris, I guess it's good you're talking to the MEF, because they are doing some work to define LSO to SD-WAN controller interface, so that could be something we follow.
Mm-hmm.
It is, Vimal, to your point, we are looking at some specific use case and scenarios and how that fits into ONAP architecture.
It's basically, if you use LSO SDK to define API, and we, let's say we decide to use that when it's released, that would give a good scenario to say we send a request and that they would orchestrate, the external platform will orchestrate and use their controller. Is there a need controller to controller, is there a need at LSO level only? And if we can define those scenario nicely, then it becomes easier to come up with a solution.
Right, and I think the one concern I have is, as we're adding controllers, is we should not only add the APIs, but we also should add the non-functional requirements to those controllers. Because, I mean, one reason for using ONAP is to minimize the management overhead of managing your control plane. And so if we introduce controllers which have all completely different management paradigms, of not how they manage the network, but how they manage themselves or how they are managed, then we are really not achieving the operational savings which we wanted to achieve with ONAP, right?
Yeah.
So I think there should not only be an API where we can say, well, look, this controller can be called through that API, but things like spinning up the controller, monitoring the health of the controller, dealing with the security of the controller, all that stuff should be standardized around ONAP. Otherwise, it's really not integrated into ONAP. It's just like a random thing on the outside.
Every module we add to ONAP should follow that consistency, not just the controller you bring. And I'll also say that if you do have a controller, from the SO point of view, though, there should be some consistent API. So whether I call SDNC, EPC, or VPC, this SO has the same, all these people support the same verb and same API, and they might do different, how they address that API could be slightly different depending on the technology, but at least they look exactly the same. They look all the similar controllers, so the SO doesn't have to say, for this particular controller, I can only use 3 API, but this one I have 7 API.
Mm-hmm. So as I was mentioning, this is still a work in progress, but you can see the current state and the general direction that we're going, and the work that we've set out in front of us to get to some answers. Are there any other questions? It looks like we have just a couple minutes before we have a hard stop for the TSC meeting. I'll ask at this point, are there any questions in general from anyone on the call for either the use case or the architecture subcommittee? We have just a couple of minutes, so if there's anything that we've missed, we can raise it now. And then switch over to the next call at the top of the hour.
Yeah, Chris, this is Parviz. A very quick question, not question, is clarification. We are sticking to the terminology APSI and G and S, V and FM. I guess they overlap some common functionality like lifecycle management and so on and so. For release 2 and beyond release 2, don't we want to collapse those functionality into a generic like LCM lifecycle management for all kind of VNFs? Is that the plan, or you want to keep those terminology for now?
Well, this is what we're talking about for now. Right now, the difference is whether you need alignment with Etsy or not, because the interfaces are a little bit different. But it's that's the reason it's dotted here. Because it's still under discussion. And then also what we may see is essentially plugins that you take whichever component or both that you need and click it in, but it doesn't imply that you have to use the other. So anyways, that's what we're working on. and there's still a lot more discussion that's required.
Okay.
So I just wanted to add that, you know, as I said before, that next joint meeting will be during our face-to-face meeting in 2.5 weeks from now. And before that, it would really be beneficial, you know, to get the whole list of functional and non-functional requirements. So as a request from you guys, and as we said, they will also distribute it to others, but please participate in writing down those requirements for the list too.
Great. And we'll circulate those links offline.
Yes.
And I'll also post the recording from this meeting on the wiki as well for anyone who needs to follow up. So we'll cover that offline and then I'll meet together in Paris. Thank you, everybody. It looks like we are at the top of the hour and so need to drop the call for the TSC. Thank you, everybody. And we'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.